I'm here to kind of breaking down the breaking news of Josh Harris purchasing the Washington Commanders. This has basically been some big important news we've all been waiting on for quite some time. And basically, I wanted to give you my first reaction about how I feel. So before I get into it, I'm not going to be dancing and yelling into the microphone. This is not who I am. I'm not the kind of person. I kind of look at things kind of more from an objective lens, kind of break it all down. What I want to do is kind of talk about the sale altogether, talk about Dan Snyder's ownership and basically what it means to Washington, D.C. So first of all, let's kind of start off with the basics, right? So we're looking over here at Adam Schefter. Statement from Commanders co-owners Tanis and Dan Snyder. We are very pleased to have reached an agreement for the sale of the Commanders franchise with Josh Harris, an area native, and his impressive group of partners. We look forward to the prompt completion of this transaction and are rooting for Josh and the team in the upcoming years. So, guys, it's kind of funny. It's breaking on this news today. Earlier today, there was news about Dan Snyder basically holding on to the team and not necessarily selling it or signing the new paperwork because he was worried about the Mary Jo White investigation coming out. That is no longer the case. I don't think that's a coincidence either. I think there's a lot of pressure on Dan to basically sell the team, and the NFL are going to flex that Mary White investigation to basically get him out. They're going to vote him out. Like, he wasn't going to stay as an owner of the Washington Commanders. What I want to get at is just how crazy this bad ownership was. So obviously it's a brand new day here in DC. And guys, I've been following this team my entire life. I mean, I'm going to be 100% honest with my listeners. I was born in 1983. I'm coming up on 40 years old. I love the team more than anything. My brothers put me on to this. My mom loves the Commanders. It's hilarious. You know, she's a 76-year-old woman. She calls up after every game and talks about the players that are out there. And it just shows you how ridiculous Dan Snyder buried this team. So if you guys look, this is the win-loss record of the Washington Commanders prior to Dan Snyder's arrival, right? Going into this era, coming in 1999, before he bought the team from Jack Kent Cook, the Washington Redskins at that time was 461, 410 with 27 ties for a plus 51 win margin, right? Over the Dan Snyder's tenureship, he's plummeted the team and brought them all the way down to sub 500. We're starting to see that, you know, over his 24 years of ownership, the team is 164, 220, and 2, having the team fall to five games below 500, 625, 630, and we have 29 ties altogether. So that's the biggest reason, I think. Well, it's one of the major reasons why Commanders fans actually just can't stand Dan Snyder, because he was losing. I think there is some merit that maybe if the team was winning, they could kind of neglect some of the bad things he's done in DC. But I honestly don't believe that at the same time, because there's just such a bad track record of all the bad things that he did going at, you know, being the owner of the Washington Commanders and Washington Redskins. One thing I want to point out to you is, being a Montgomery County native, I saw a mass exodus of fans leaving the actual, you know, leaving the DC areas, not leaving the DC area, but leaving the DC fan base to go on to other things. You know, my brothers, I have two older brothers that are 10 years older than me that watched the teams win the Super Bowl, that put me on and put on my clothes as a young kid to basically become a Redskins fan. They no longer watch the game because they're sick and tired of all the losing and sick and tired of all the negative headlines that kept on popping up over and over again under this whole Snyder era. As you guys can see, they're basically, you know, it's led to negative ticket sales. I am a season ticket holder. I love going to the games, but I can just see it. I mean, it's tough. You go there, you're rooting, you're trying to be the best fan you can. But if you look, Washington ranks 32nd out of all NFL teams, 32 out of 32 in regard to ticket sales across the entire league. It's hard. It's a hard thing to root for. You go there, you see a lot of fans. It's about 50-50, 60-40 Commander fans, basically, as opposed to, you know, opposing fans. But it's just tough because there isn't a true home field advantage. It's starting to build up. There's some energy building the past couple of years, but it has been tough. And there has been a mass exodus of fans. You know, honestly, just talking to you about being here in Montgomery County, I live in Rockville, Maryland. I'll go to a grocery store. It'll be 50-50 Ravens stuff, Commander stuff. Actually, I'll even mix it up even further. It'll be 30% Ravens stuff, 30% Commander stuff, 30% Steelers stuff, and then whatever. You know, a couple of some Cowboy stuff kind of floating around there too. Washington isn't loved in the D.C. area, at least in Maryland right now, and we need to kind of work on building that back. adding on to this mass exodus is the fact that the Ravens have been pretty damn successful during this time. If you look, the Ravens are 22, they won 227 games, lost 159, and basically won two Super Bowls over the Dan Snyder era. People will neglect to say this, and they kind of are reluctant because they're so like home team proud and so Washington proud. Why would you want to continue to root for the Washington Commanders or the Redskins if they're constantly in the negative press, if they're constantly being criticized, if they're constantly losing, when you have a MVP candidate in Lamar Jackson 30, 40 minutes up the road if you're living where I'm at, right? That's kind of the dilemma that we're seeing in the whole D.C. metropolitan area. And we need to unite the fan base and bring everyone back because right now, they weren't lovable. Having Dan Snyder as someone that kind of promoted a toxic workplace culture, having a team that loses consistently, having, at one point a polarizing name that basically divided some people across the nation, Washington wasn't loved unanimously, nationally, or even locally, and it was very easy to walk away over the past couple of years. Guys, I've always stated, you guys know that I've been following the team religiously, ever since 16. I was a journalism major at the University of Maryland. I've always followed the Washington Redskins my entire life. Is my favorite thing that I believe in. But it has been hard to kind of sell and get people to follow it. On any given day, it's hard to kind of recruit three or four people to watch the game with you or to go to the game with you because, if you're constantly losing, you'd rather enjoy your Sunday on this busy, on a busy day to kind of get things done as opposed to watching the game, at least here in the DC metro area. So we kind of have to build our fan base back up. Going along with the mass exodus of the fan base is basically the organizational neglect that basically Dan Snyder put on the team as well. If you look right here, the NFLPA, they actually ran a survey for all, a random selected group of people on the team to kind of give honest feedback anonymously, basically summarizing how they feel about the team. And if you look over here, there's various categories. And if you're listening on my podcast, I'll kind of break it down for you. The categories are treatment of families, food service, nutrition, weight room, strength coaches, training room, training staff, locker room, and travel. The highest score that Washington got was an A+ with the strength coaches, which is actually surprising because, a couple of years ago, Washington's strength coach actually was indicted by the federal government for giving steroids and potentially illegal drugs. But that kind of been cleared out and it's been kind of cleaned up. And now we have an A+ in that regard. But if you look across the board, treatment of families, how does Dan Snyder treat the wives of the players, of the children that they have? Is there daycare centers within the stadium? Is there places where the players, are they being escorted? Are there shuttles offered for the family members to kind of go to and from the stadium and things of that nature? They have an F, ranked 29th in the league. Training room, F-. Guys, I've walked around the training room. It's small. It's dated. It looks like I've seen high schools in Montgomery County that are basically more refined. I've seen, University of Maryland's training room is actually a little bit nicer than what we see here in D.C. F-, when your business is to protect your body and to ensure that you are at the utmost highest performance level, and you walk into a training room and there's like one or two cold tubs and there really isn't a lot of tables for stretching and rehabilitation, that's not a good, attractive place to go as a free agent. So that kind of deterred our free agents coming out of DC for a while. Locker room F-, travel F-. They're giving economic ways of transfer, transferring. There wasn't really a high class way of being moved around. And that just shows you a lack of investment in the team. And if there's a lack of investment in the team, it's going to trickle down onto the field. It's going to trickle down into, not great results on the field as well. So, wins and losses. Going along with the organizational neglect, we're starting to see, we can talk about FedEx Field. I'll be honest with you. I go to FedEx Field. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is. People really claim that it's one of the, it's awful. It's a, lack of a better word, a shithole, basically, the place to go. I don't see it as bad as that, but it does seem dated. It doesn't seem refreshed. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of love in that building. And one thing I do have to give credit for to the business side of the Commanders, Jason Wright, Joey Colby, I forgot the hyphenated last name as well. They basically have done a great job of adding murals, of adding aesthetics, adding pictures, adding extra padding, adding covering up the old FedEx orange and white and blue up in the top of the stands, kind of putting that burgundy and gold on top of making it feel more like a home as opposed to strictly a building. But there has been lack of improvements. The sound system has been pretty awful there. The Jumbotron has been shrinked and put advertising on top of that to kind of generate more money due to lack of ticket sales. And it does seem like it is like, you know, it doesn't, you don't feel impressed walking into FedEx Field. And that's why there's such a dire need to basically, you know, to upgrade and leave. And I think that was ultimately Dan Slater's downfall without having, you know, without having the ability to have investment in the stadium by local municipalities in regard to DC, Maryland, Virginia. Nobody wanted to work with him because they didn't trust him. That's ultimately, that's a death to it, man. Like if no one believes in you and you don't, are not getting investment, you know, and you're not generating money for the NFL, that's the way to go. That's the way to get out of the actual league. I think that's ultimately was Dan Snyder's downfall. Going along with this, poor field conditions. We've known this for years. You know, one of our favorite years was 2012 with RG3. He infamously tore his knee on the FedEx Field grounds. I was at that game. As you can see in this image, and you know, for those of you that are listening on audio, it's basically the RG3 twisted knee image where his knee's facing the wrong direction. Guys, people have said that that game, there was like essentially painted green dirt. That's basically what it was in regard to the actual field conditions. You can actually see it in the images right here. You know, that was a home playoff game that was nationally televised. People were watching it. RG3 got hurt. Many other people got hurt going into that season. Other opposing teams were like, that's one of the worst fields we've played on in years. But that also trickles down to the investment that Dan Snyder put into the team. Like I talked about before, basically, you know, the practice fields didn't have adequate drainage. So basically, you know, the field conditions, when it rained heavily, basically the players had a tough time slipping and sliding on the practice fields. Prior to Mike Shanahan, there was no bubble. There was no indoor option for players to actually practice. Mike Shanahan actually complained about that and brought that up to Dan Snyder and basically demanded that was put into effect to give his players an option for, like, you know, really hot humid conditions or really bad rainstorms or even, you know, potentially lightning out there, to kind of go inside and kind of just kind of practice in a more controlled environment as opposed to going out in the really bad fields that were there. One of my favorite media guys around here, Logan Paulson, he you know, has a great podcast with Take Command with Craig Hoffman. He basically talked about how when he was in DC, they had such poor conditions there as well, that in regard to, like, before the bubble even happened, they used to actually practice inside of the air hangar where Redskins 1 or the actual Dan Snyder's private jet actually existed. They would go there and practice on, like, a, you know, pseudo concrete and basically get their reps in on that area to basically get their reps in if the weather was bad during his tenureship. And guys, this isn't 1980, 1970s. We're talking about like the 2010s and 2015s. We're talking about that era. Is that's how recent these professional football players were expected to practice in these conditions. They're practicing on concrete and practicing in an airport hangar because there was no other options to basically protect themselves. So that lack of investment, that lack of love into the team in regard to, like, the conditions of the field, the stadium, the training rooms in regard to the medicals, that led to unfavorable work conditions, and it led to losses on the field, as I alluded to before. Let's keep going with this, man. This whole Dan Snyder era is, it's rough. You know, we're going to go through it all. Going back over here, another polarizing topic with the whole DC Washington Commanders team is basically the rebrand, right? I'll put it out there. I do not want a rebrand. I'm kind of sick of it. That 2 years of that, like, transition between Washington football team and polling fans and, you know, soliciting advice from the fan base, I'm over it. I think it's way too much for me. I'm fine with Commanders. I think Commanders is actually pretty solid. You know, I'm a DC sports fan. Like, I think the Wizards are a much worse name. The Mystics are a much worse name. The Nationals is about the same level. The Capitals are pretty cool. The Washington Castles, DC United, I think they all kind of fits into that brand. So I'm not really too opposed to it. And I don't ever think the Washington Redskins name is going to come back. I think it's too polarizing of a name. And I think it's too much of a hot topic across the nation. If there ever were to be a rebrand, I think Washington would go with the Washington Hogs. I think the fan base kind of thinks that Redskins or Red Wolves would be the primary options. I think that the trademark options are actually legitimate. I do think Wolves, Timberwolves, Red Wolves in the collegiate level will be a barrier to basically becoming the Washington Red Wolves here. And I think there's, you know, to be honest with you, Red Wolves is polarizing. People liked the Washington Red Wolves, but many people didn't as well. So I think if they did change the name, they would revert to Washington Hogs or Washington Red Hogs. You can kind of see it with Major Tutty and things of that nature. But to be honest with you, I like Commanders better than Hogs. I don't want to wear pigs on my on my shirts and t-shirts and so on and so forth. And I actually went to a rebrand event with Jason Wright last year as part of one of my perks as a season ticket holder. And he just said that Washington, like Hogs and like pigs and all that nature, didn't necessarily even pull well with women because they don't want to wear that kind of stuff. So it's got to keep that in mind. So like the rebrand, right? Let's kind of dive into this. I honestly believe that the actual that Dan Snyder's arrogance led to this rebrand and a failure of a rebrand, right? Failure of an effective rebrand. This is a famous quote. You guys have all heard it before from the USA Today. I'm going to read it to you guys out loud. This is a quote from Dan Snyder. "We will never change the name of the team," Snyder told USA Today Sports This Week. "As a lifelong Redskins fan, and I think that the Redskins fan understand the great tradition and what it's all about and what it means. So we feel pretty fortunate to be working on next season." The USA Today writer asks, what if his football team loses an ongoing federal trademark lawsuit? Would he consider changing it then? And Dan Snyder's infamous quote, "We'll never change the name," he said. "It's that simple. Never. You can use caps." At that point, guys, you know, there was writing on the wall that the name was going to be changed. I actually had this conversation with a couple of my, a couple of my coworkers and a couple of my friends in group chat that I talked to, Commander fans, Redskin fans. It's a polarizing name, okay? With our society, with George Floyd happening in 2020, with this new movement of anti-racism and being culturally proficient and having a fair eye, I do feel that like it's a 50-50 split on whether you believe that the name is a respectful name or if you think it's a racial name. One thing I want to point out is this, right? Many people will argue that, hey, it's a Native American name in honor, right? It was done in the right way. George Preston Marshall did this to honor Native Americans, right? A couple things I want to point out, and I'm not anti-Redskins. I'm saying Redskins right now, so you can blame me if I'm being racist right now or anything like that. George Preston Marshall was a known racist, right? He was also a known marketer. For those that actually truly follow the actual naming of the team, Redskins came from the alliteration of the Boston Red Sox. He wanted to kind of build off of the popularity of the Boston Red Sox and match it with the Boston, you know, the Washington Redskins. Redskins, Red Sox, it kind of rings a bell. It's an easy way to kind of up sales in regard to that. I think for many, many years, there obviously, guys, you know, when the team came in 1932, if you got to be completely ignorant to think that there was no racism in 1932 or 45 or 50 or even 68 when Martin Luther King was shot, right? There was clearly racism going on. However, I do think that the Redskins name did become synonymous with the Washington football team, and I don't think it was truly intended to be a racial bad name. I don't think it was any intentions, like when people are wearing a Redskin jersey, they're actually criticizing or making fun of a Native American, right? But I do think as time became more apparent, as things kind of went along, I do think that our nation became more sensitive to racial topics, and just that name couldn't be feasible anymore, right? Brown skins, black skins, white skins, it could create it could make people feel uncomfortable, right? Like I'll put it out there. I'm an Arabic person, Washington Brownskins. If a team actually came out, they did the Washington Arabs. That might be cool for a little bit for me. That'd be awesome. And the Washington Arabs sounds really cool. But I don't know how I'd feel after a while if I start seeing other people, wearing the hijab or, having fake camos with them and things of that nature or any other type of, stereotypes like Aladdin and things of that nature. I think it would make people feel uncomfortable. So the fact of the matter is, if you're going to make anybody feel uncomfortable, you have to kind of have a clean slate and have something that's generic and clean, and the Washington Commanders came about. Sorry I went on that tangent. That's not where I wanted to go with this, right? What I wanted to go with this was basically that Dan could have got ahead of all of this. This arrogance of basically never having the team, I'm never going to change the name ever, and letting the Washington Warriors trademark go away, that basically led to this whole rebrand that we got that fumbled, right? Washington could have easily have been the Washington Warriors. Washington could have been the Washington Warriors with the old spear helmet. It could have been the Washington Warriors, you know, with the old Native American, you know, emblem on the side of the helmet and still been Warriors and gave honor to the team. If he actually was respectful and treated people correctly, did not have that air of arrogance, people wouldn't have been out to get him. I truly believe in karma, and I do believe that if you treat people poorly, it's going to come back to you. And I think that's what eventually happened to Dan Snyder. He fumbled that. That's why we got Washington Commanders. I'm going to roll with it for now. But if he did it the proper way, if he got ahead of it and like, hey guys, Redskins does seem inappropriate. I do feel like it's going to create an issue with people. I'll go Washington Warriors. I'll do the Washington, you know, put the Spears on the side or something of that nature. We could have had the actual name that we wanted to, but what Dan Snyder let that go. So speaking of mistreatment of people, right? So this goes back to the big one, right? And I always feel uncomfortable talking about this issue because, you know, obviously, you know, we're dealing with other humans and, you know, other people that are out there. And I feel bad because I'm not in their shoes and I've heard from their shoes. And I heard their perspective, but I don't like speaking for them because only they truly understand what actually happened. And for those of you that are listening in audio, I'm referring to all the people that were affected by the toxic work culture and sexual harassment era that took place under Dan Snyder's ownership. Megan Embert, Melanie Coburn, Attell, the entire group of ladies that basically were brave enough to speak up. And, you know, honestly, more power to them. I truly do respect them with all their heart. It's difficult to basically speak up and to speak up and advocate for yourself, especially in a power dynamic where you are like the entry-level person and you're going against the billionaire who basically has billions of dollars to actually be litigious and basically sue you and go against you, especially when these young ladies are basically getting dream jobs in their opinion, basically just trying to get their feet underneath them and getting in the professional industry and you know, having their their dreams ruined. There's a famous saying, I'm going to kill it right now, but it's basically like you never want, like, it's always disappointing when you meet your heroes and they're not what you're expecting, right? And that's what happened to these young ladies. They basically came into an industry. They're excited. Many of them are Washington Redskins fans. A lot of them are sexually harassed. A lot of them got some lewd messages and images sent to them and treated like crap. There wasn't an HR department to refer to and to speak up with. And basically, they're marred. Like, their vision of the pro industry has been completely destroyed, and they feel uncomfortable. And, you know, the sad part about society is some people believe them, and some people think they're exaggerating, right? And that's another kind of a stereotype and a stigma for speaking up. So I'm very proud of the fact that they actually spoke up and did this, because it's a pretty difficult thing to do. And, you know, I'm impressed. I do think that their efforts and that they're them pushing in the chips and them being speaking up for themselves, they put themselves at risk. I don't know if you guys actually saw the dossier that has come up against these ladies, including the reporters from the Washington Post. It's actually pretty grimy stuff. Like, it actually got leaked about a year or two ago, and I don't know how I got my hands on it, but I started looking at it. And it essentially was a PowerPoint slideshow, essentially, of like Liz Clark and other Washington Post writers, Mark Maskey, you know, talking about where their professionalism, talk about where they live, talked about different articles that they wrote. And essentially, there was private investigators tracking down all these reporters and these women that were speaking up against Dan Snyder, because he is litigious. He's infamous for that. So the fact that the fact that he carried himself in this way, the fact that, you know, the team was losing, the fact that all this stuff is going on, the treatment of the field, treatment of the players, you know, it's karma, guys. He needed to go, and I'm very happy that he is gone. And I think that's more, for me, I see jubilation in fans. I just have a sense of relief. I'm just happy that he's gone, because I do think there's going to be a new era, and I'm really excited about that. Last thing I want to talk about before I start talking about Josh Harris and Magic Johnson is, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but at one point in my life, I wrote for Sports Illustrated. I wrote with Rick Snyder. I wrote with Chris Russell. And we shared stories about all the different things that happened inside Ashburn. Chris Russell told me about times where, like, you know, Bruce Allen would kind of just wheel in Coors Light into the state, you know, into the into the Ashburns, like, you know, into the training facilities in front of the players. He'd be drinking in front of them and not necessarily carrying himself in the proper way. Rick Snyder told me one time he had a heart issue, and he basically essentially almost had a heart attack basically while at Ashburn. And while he fell to the floor and felt uncomfortable, Dan Snyder kind of like made a bad joke about his weight and basically kind of laughed it off with the people that were surrounding him. And that just kind of gives me the wrong impression. It just gives me a bad impression of basically who Dan Snyder is and who he was as the owner. So I'm happy that it's gone. I'm ready for a new era. And that goes on to my final point. We have a fresh start with Josh Harris and Magic Johnson. Ideally, they can kind of bring in a new era into DC and bring in a winning era into DC. You know, as you all know, if you guys are listening to this, you guys know who Josh Harris is and what he brings to the table. Basically, he owns the New Jersey Devils. The New Jersey Devils' record this year is 52-22-8. They essentially started from the bottom. They invested in their draft picks. They traded away high-end veterans that were older and on the back end of their career, maybe a couple years too early as opposed to too late. But because of that in trading away and because of accumulating the assets, they have a young team that's built to last. So we're starting to see that in New Jersey. On the Sixers, that whole trust the process era. Right now they have game 7. I believe the game 7's game is tonight against the Boston Celtics. They're a number 3 seed this year, guys. The league MVP is Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia Sixers, who is owned by Josh Harris, who basically is going to take over the Commanders. What I'm excited about this is I do believe that Josh Harris knows how to run an organization. I think he's going to run the team as an investor as opposed to like a hands-on owner. I think he views it as an asset. He's going to hire the right people and step away. That's what I've heard from people that are great Devils fans and 76ers fans. I think he's going to make a big effort to bring the team back into DC, and I think there's going to be a positive vibe. The final thing that I'll say before I get out of here, before I sign out, is it's basically the glass ceiling's removed, right? We've had years of Dan Snyder being our owner. There wasn't necessarily a way for, you know, in my opinion, with Dan Snyder as an owner, you don't know you were never going to win a Super Bowl. That's a proven fact now, right? There were going to be a 500 team, a team that maybe has one or two big years that pops after, you know, depending on a good player like RG3 or something of that nature. But there was never going to be sustained success because there was so much meddling going on. So I think that glass ceiling is removed. I think their upside is there. It might take a couple of years for Washington to be successful, but at least there is the option for success. And I think there's going to be more support nationally because for years and years and years, Dan Snyder brought a black eye to Washington. Nobody wanted to root for Washington. We weren't the lovable losers because we weren't lovable. Nobody wanted to root for Dan Snyder. But now that he's gone, I think the team has some high upside. I think people can root for us. And I think people are going to root for us because we've been through so much. So on that note, let's go Commanders. Congratulations to Josh Harris. I'm glad you're the owner of the team. Let's have a great year. Talk to you guys soon. Guys, follow me on YouTube at Command the Mic. I would love that. The more support I get, the better. You can also follow me at GKarmic21. Have a great evening. See you guys later. Peace.